Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know.
Refill?
Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Davis Maddock, joined today by Rich Rebar from Sharp Football. Every Friday, we pick our five favorite games against the spread. We got a lot of road favorites this week. The Ravens, my favorite pick last week. Not great giving up the, although, thinking back on it, they did almost convert a 4th-and-1 that would have ended the game. But
I bet the under in that game. So that was cool.
Yeah.
Horrible. That was great. They were in the opening kickoff back. That game was fun though. It was like watching a college football game. Like,
yes.
Tua was at Bama. Lamar was at Louisville. Every play was like a 50-yard touchdown. Athletes were being athletes. It was, I can't say I didn't enjoy it outside of, getting wrecked.
No, that's what we want. We want more of that. I mean, we got a fair number of games in.
And the cover too.
That's true. We got a fair number of games in the 50s this weekend, though. Chiefs, Colts, Bills, Dolphins, and Lions, Minnesota. So at least DFS it should be a little bit more fun this weekend than last weekend where you were sitting there, like, just begging Carson Wentz to get garbage time points. That was a miserable experience, man. The Wentz coaster, I want off. No more Wentz for me.
Yeah, I think that, after facing Jags Lions, I think going against the Eagles this week will be a week where we don't have to chase the Wentz points this week.
All right, let's do it. What is your let's just start off. What is your number five?
My number five is the Falcons, starting off strong here. And remember, this is week 3, and something I always bring up on this show is that historically 0-2 teams are great bets. Especially when they face teams that aren't 0-2 as well. Obviously when teams are 0-2, someone has to win. Look at some of these 0-2 spots. We only have 4 this week. We've got the Bengals, but they're pretty significant favorites again. We have Atlanta, we have Houston, and we have Carolina, kind of in those spots you would historically type the back. I'm not going to back any of those other teams, but I will be willing to back the Falcons, going on the road. The Falcons have been game. Like, they played the Saints to the wire and they at least were fighting with the Rams. That game, the final score ended up being a little bit closer due to that blocked punt and then that safety that they get them score. But the Falcons were moving the football and they moved the football better than I thought that they would early in the season. They've done it without getting anything from Kyle Pitts to this point. And the Seahawks defense is as bad as we thought it would be. They're still a team not running any offensive plays. I mean, they've run fewer than 50 plays in both games again. It's the same shit we're dealing with the Seahawks every year. Give me the Falcons as, 1 point, dogs here. I put them at 5 because it's still betting on the Falcons. But, I want to, if I'm going to back an 0-2 team, I think that's going to be the one I'm going to support.
So this was my 4. Okay. And it really is as simple as I think the Seahawks stink. I think that the market is kind of overrating just the very weird emotional tilt of week 1, which is a game they should have lost by 2 touchdowns anyways, right? I mean, they just escaped 2 goal line touchdowns, 2 fumbles on the 1-yard line. I have the Broncos in my list as well. I think the Broncos are pretty, I think the Seahawks stink and Mariota is not a good quarterback. I would kind of put him in the Ryan Fitzpatrick zone of guy where like it's not a disaster. If you have to start him, he can kind of get the ball to guys who are actually good at their jobs. Like this is not like a Nathan Peterman type situation. And Geno looked okay in week one, much worse in week two. I also think they're using Lockett and Metcalf the reverse of how they should. They're using Lockett down the field and Metcalf close to the line of scrimmage. I would flip-flop them. But there's just so many signs that Pete Carroll has no fucking clue what he's doing. You know, Travis Homer, like, draft a running back in the second round, pay Rashad Penny $6.5 million, and then Travis Homer leads the backfield in snaps last week. Like, and they don't even have the talent to make up for it anymore. Like, I just want to be against the Seahawks. I do not think they're any good.
I want to be against any team that runs a full house halfback pass on the 7-yard line.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely correct. Simply could not agree more. We are simpatico on this one. It's just like, this is a spot to start just going and get, like, you know, because the lines are better. We have a pretty good idea of who these teams are. So I just want to go against donkey coaches. Although to be fair, not like Arthur Smith is this footballing genius. Like, he also seems like a donkey, but Pete Carroll is out donkey him. My number five is the Baltimore Ravens -3.5 points at the New England Patriots.
A lot this of is road. My one.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's, I've noticed the first couple weeks of the season, the only bet I've been like, I would tell anyone in my life to bet this. I have absolutely 100% confidence. This is never going to lose. Is the Cardinals, the Chiefs week one against the Cardinals. That's been the only one where I bet more than 3 units on a line, just because I was like, that this is 100% winning. So I don't like, degrees of confidence are going to get stronger for me as the season goes on. But I mean, come on. The Patriots are just the worst offensive team. Lamar leads the NFL in air yards per attempt. Like, Lamar is doing this as a passer in a way he never has before. Like, he seems unlocked.
Yeah, I mean, it's, for me, it's really easy to bet against the Patriots right now. I mean, this is a team that has scored on just 4 of 19 drives. The only teams to score at a lower rate of their possessions are the Seahawks and Colts through 2 games. Jacoby Myers looks like he's not going to play. He's like the only dude they can functionally throw the football to. And that's only like 9 yards downfield at a time. So, I mean, I just don't know how they score points. And I know a lot of people will say, well, the Ravens just gave up all these points to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Well, there's no Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle on the other side of the field. Also, the Ravens did get some pieces back. I mean, Marcus Peters played that game for the first time in over a year. Marlon Humphrey is still there. Like, this is the Ravens are a defense I expect to get better as it goes, the season goes along. And they have a new defensive coordinator. Like, they're going to figure stuff that goes along. This is a great week for them to make a step against this just anemic Patriots offense. The Patriots defense isn't even good either anymore. They haven't really, they give up the points, the Dolphins. They were never in that game. Mike McDaniel just sat on the clock the second half of that game. And then the second week, they kind of just like mope around with the Steelers, like, and muck it up. The Ravens are just a supremely better team. I feel really good about this one. That's why I haven't won. So we'll see how it holds up. But I mean, I just don't think the Patriots are very good at all.
No, I don't think they're very good. We've talked about this before too, where like Belichick's whole thing used to be, he just grinded every small edge and it really added up. But now that most other competent teams are also grinding every edge, it's like a lot of his edges have gone away. And I mean, the Patriots are just like the slowest team in football, you know, like,
right.
Like Nelson Aguilar Moss is a guy last week, but it's like, you know, it's Nelson Aguilar. Like, we're not factoring in Nelson Aguilar mossing, you know, Kyle Hamilton or whatever in my outcomes of this game. So
I mean, you can still get this at 3 and under a lot of places live right now. And as long as it's 3 or under, I mean, I'm in.
Yeah, 100% agree. All right. So my 5 was the Ravens, my 4 was the Falcons. What is your 4?
My 4 is the cover gods, man. I mean, I'm just gonna start playing the Lions, man.
Why not? This was my one. The Lions cover here was my one.
Yeah, I mean, so since the start of last year, they're number 2 in the NFL in terms of rate of covering games. They are 9-3 against the spread as a 6-point dog or larger. Why not keep going back? And they've scored 35, 36 points. Like, they're a team that can score. It feels like 6 is too many. So, I mean, I'm here for the cover gods.
So My thoughts are a couple. I have like three things. So the first thing is, when you're taking a dog, what is the number one thing? You want to know that if they're down double digits, if they're down more, that they're going for the score at the end, right? Some teams won't do that, right? I mean,
we saw it last night. Mike Tomlin punted with like 4 minutes left to go in that game.
Yeah, he's over it. He doesn't care. He's getting out of there. He's licking his wounds. What are the Lions going to do? The exact opposite. They're going, you know, they're going empty personnel. They're doing all the bells and whistles. Like, they are trying to score points until it's over. The second thing is, have you been following all, like, there's been a couple of really good articles. There was one on The Athletic and another one about the Lions run game. Now, again, I'm not gonna get too deep in the weeds with like film stuff, because it's not really what I'm good at. But apparently they have installed this like 1980s style run system that basically is like defenses are just not ready for it. And Lions running backs, so Swift, Jamal Williams, Craig Reynolds, they're averaging like 3.8 yards before contact per carry. So like, there just is not even anyone there to tackle them. So I expect the run game to do fine. And then Shark and the Sun God, it's like, I mean, what are you going to do against these guys? The Vikings looked hapless against AJ Brown and Devonta Smith. I don't think they're going to do that much. Like, I would not be surprised if the Lions won this game outright, honestly. So it was easy number one for me.
Yeah, I mean, 6 points feels like way too tight. We're still trying to figure out what we have in the Vikings. I expect them to play a lot better because of the aggressive nature of the Lions defense.
Same.
So far.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I just feel like it's just too many points, and the Lions, they can continue to cover, man. This is go for the fighting Campbells, man.
Yeah. I was so ready to like hate Dan Campbell too, like such like a football guy, but he's totally won me over. And a lot of the real football guys, like people love Vrabel, and I'm totally anti Vrabel. Like, I just, it's that this is not the guy for me, but Campbell has totally won me over. Okay. So that was your four.
Yeah.
Okay. We already did my four. So what's your three?
My three is, the Dolphins. Again, just, I think that they're going to be, I don't know. Don't know if I believe
this one was not on my list.
Yeah. It was on my list before the actual news came out. So we'll see if the line moves that, you know, obviously Micah Hyde now is going to be out. Dane Jackson's going to be out, and Jordan Phillips are going to be out for the Bills. So they're going to be missing a lot of pieces. One of the things the Bills have done so far defensively is they've just kind of sat back in zone. They haven't really rushed any quarterbacks because they've got these two younger quarterbacks playing, and they're not really going to have that like coverage over the top now with Micah Hyde being out. Jordan Porter is going to be playing hurt in this game too. He did practice today. He's going to be playing. So who knows if he even re-aggravates something goes wrong in game. They're just going to be missing so many pieces that I think the Dolphins are going to score. I think that Mike McDaniel last week, what he showed me was, we knew that the Dolphins were always going to have like the ability to kind of turn like Tua into like Garoppolo, have like that, you know, the play action passing game, have that Shanahanian like old style like system was always going to be an out. But the fact that they showed that they actually have just a straight drop back pass game when they need it to, going against this Bills team that we know is going to score points, makes me feel a lot more confident that they're going to be able to kind of pace the score here, and kind of try to hang around and keep this thing kind of within a touchdown for most of the game. Maybe even just straight backdoor the cover at the end of the game with a garbage touchdown if they're down. But the fact that they have just a where they're like, hey, we can throw all this play action Shanahan shit out the window and just drop back and throw if we have to, that to me is a nice signal, proof of concept. And Mike McDaniel is just one of these guys, like you talked about, like I'm in on Mike McDaniel.
Yes, same.
Man, Jesus Christ. I don't think I could be more in on Mike McDaniel right now. Yeah, this guy just gets it. I'm fully on board. So I just feel like the 5.5 feels like a good number for me to come in and the Dolphins kind of hang around there.
So I was like not in on McDaniel. I actually did not like him because I think maybe he just had a hard time explaining his perspective in the offseason. But like, you know, he talked a lot about
he's a starter, man.
Well, maybe. I mean, you know, he talked a lot about like the value of the run game and controlling the clock and stuff. But I mean, he had two games in, 100% great hire. I mean, I agree with the like, one, I've always been a little bit higher on the market than Tua anyways. I think he has a chance to be a top like left-handed Kirk Cousins, right? But maybe even like more accurate than Kirk Cousins. And that's like a good guy you would want to have on your team in general. And like the Tyreek addition was, I think, super smart, just being like, well, if we're not sure about our quarterback, we should give him a guy who can create something out of nothing. The reason why this one did not make my list is I just am terrified of the Bills. I mean, they are just hanging dong. Like, they just look unreal. They didn't even have Gabe Davis last week. They're getting him back this week. Like, Jake Kumerow just led the Bills in snaps played at wide receiver last week. He should be completely relegated now because he played to be like the run blocker. Mm-hmm. And Gabe Davis is going to do that now. I'm just terrified of the Bills. And the defensive stuff, I just don't really know how to value that. Like, how good is the Bills backup safety? Like, I don't fucking know, but it's not that I disagree with the take that the Dolphins should be able to score enough with them. It's just that I'm like literally terrified of Josh Allen dropping 50 on me just because he can.
Yeah, he can, because he can.
Yeah.
It's crazy too, because you think about it, because this is the first time the Bills are on the main slate for DFS, and it's like you still can't really pair Josh Allen with anybody. You have this team that, like, inherently you're like, damn, they're gonna score 35, and it's like, well, if we don't play Diggs, who the hell are we gonna play? Like,
I got a feeling about Gabe. I think Gabe is like a pretty good leverage play this week because Allen Diggs is gonna be super popular.
I saw that video of him running, and he looked bad. Didn't look good at all.
I mean, they're just going to give him some Toradol, though. He'll be fine. Right? It's true. That's what they do.
Bud Kilmer this thing up. Yeah.
My number three is the Kansas City Chiefs. And this has been fascinating to me. The line has moved the Colts way all week. Opened at 6.5, went to 7. It's at like 5.5 at most books now. And like, this is a spot that it has, like a Billy Waters type, you know, would tell me I'm a huge donkey. Like, home team.
Oh yeah,
coming off a huge loss, you know, a team that's 2-0, but their second game was really shaky, yada yada. You know, Pittman was out last week, Pierce was out last week. They're like, this is the thing, this is my take on the Chiefs season. I'm not taking them against the Bills. I'm not taking them when they play the Chargers again. I might not even take them against the Broncos if Rush shows me he still got some stuff. I think against like other top 10 teams, they're going to be very likely to show some weak spots in their armor, right? But against bad teams, all systems go. They are just going to crush bad teams. And I think we saw the best evidence we're going to see that against the Cardinals. They just played, you know, free and easy, and Noah Gray's scoring, and Jody Ford, you know, it's like Hardman's out there, and they can just get away with whatever they want against bad teams. And then to get very granular, as you would expect, Mahomes' dome stats are like unbelievable. He's played 7 games inside of a dome or a retractable roof. He's taken 6 total sacks, 20 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. Like, it's, and that's obviously like a DFS angle, but they're just gonna fucking smoke these guys out. There's no way. Also, Mahomes in his career, it's something like he's 21-2 when they are a 7-point favorite or higher. Like, they just take care of business, essentially.
Yeah, this game scares me because a lot of the reasons you said, like, and it's been like,
yes,
in like our, like the, like, you know, Warren's like betting thread and all the guys like around the Colts too.
So they all right. I will say this, my side is the square side 100%. The sharp side 1,000,000% is the Colts.
Yeah, because the look ahead line on this was only 3. So it's like they just see that so much line value that they're just going to take it. I'm not touching it because I don't know what the hell the Colts are right now. So like I'm not going to back the Colts.
Is Matt Ryan worse than Carson Wentz?
I mean, I'm willing to throw last week's game out just because
I agree.
Like everything that all the moving parts they had, all the moving pieces, like he had worse weaponry than he had in Atlanta last year, like last week with the Colts. So, I mean, I'm willing to throw that game out. Think they'll get Jonathan Taylor will have more touches this week. They're going to, you know, they're also missing some pieces defensively. They'll get back too. But I'm still not backing the Colts. I don't want this to be an endorsement to play the Colts either. Like, I'm just not touching this game. I love this game for DFS though. God, I love it so much.
Who's your Colts play?
I want to play JT, man.
Would you use JT as a bring back with Mahomes or just like on his own?
I want to onslaught this game, I think, because it's going to be pretty low owned. And if Kelce, Mahomes, JT hit, like, you got theoretically three guys that could lead their position in scoring. I do like Juju because the amount of zone coverage the Colts play. Obviously, you know, we're getting another Gus Bradley Mahomes game.
Yeah.
We know Gus Bradley is going to sit and cover three the whole game. So I do, because of the amount of zone coverage, I do like Juju to kind of be the beneficiary. I think it's going to be more of an intermediate passing game for the Chiefs. So Kelce, Juju, I like that. Juju's going to be popular though because of his pricing.
Yes.
But I feel like if you're onslaughting that game, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anyways, because the Mahomes looks like he's gonna be relatively owned. Kelce looks like he's gonna be relatively owned, and JT, because we'll talk about it at the end of the show about, you know, kind of, I think people are going to go with kind of like what the meta has been the first 2 weeks. And I think I want to pivot because I don't want to play any of these shitty running backs.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. I get that. All right. So I have my two left and you have your two left.
Yeah. My two is the Rams, like 100%. Like, let's not be fooled that Kyler bailed Cliff's ass out last week. Like, this right. team sucks. They were losing 23-0. McVay has absolutely owned Cliff. He's owned the Cardinals, period. The Rams are 10-1, 9-1-1 against the spread against Arizona. Heads up against Cliff. McVay is 6-1, 5-1-1 against the spread. You know, this is just still the chasm between these teams is still gigantic. The Cardinals are really bad. They are really bad. Like I said, Kyler bailed them out a lot. I don't think we'll get that against this Rams defense.
I mean, the only reason this is not on my list is just fear of the backdoor, you know, because Kyler, like, and.
But this one is small. Like, you talk about the Josh Allen. Like,
4.5, 5.5?
Even lower than that, I believe, currently. You know, if you were going to do like the.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's only 3.5.
Yeah, it's 3.5 now. Yeah, 3.5 right now. So yeah, I'm so out on the Cardinals, like, until they get Hopkins back and they get, like, because Kyler wasn't even like great in that game either last week, but like he bailed them out like on a few drives. Like, if the Raiders are just not incompetent in the second half of that game, they just outright win that game. But, you know, gosh, the Cardinals are so bad. It every play was like they needed a fourth down. Like,
yes,
it was crazy, man. Like, that, well, play where Kyler had the 2-point conversion where he had the ball for 35 seconds was absolutely incredible, though.
See, I mean, that's why we love him, right? The Stewie Griffin, right? Guy runs like Stewie Griffin. It's
Dude, I've never seen a player just stop his feet so much. Like, they just, like, Kyler just stops running and then immediately is just like Fred Flintstoning out of there. Like, it's so crazy to me. But yeah, fuck the Cardinals.
My number two. I'm flag planting here. I'm just betting against the Titans right now. I got the Raiders on the road as a small favorite, not really that big of an endorsement of the Raiders. I mean, I think they should probably be fine and take care of business against a bad Titans team, but it's just like, I just, you know, every year there's a worst to first team. And then there's always a team that goes from division winner to irrelevant, right? I mean, just every year, this is a pretty consistent trend. And the Titans to me look like, well, the Bengals too. Oof, very, very tough scenes for the Cincinnati Bengals thus far. But the Titans just like can't do anything. They look so incompetent. Tannehill looks awful. Henry looks awful. The defense, you know, they don't look like they can generate any pressure. Like, what is the point of this team? Like what do you do here, Titans? Like, you have no identity. You're playing Nick Westbrook-Ikhine over Treylon Burks. Like, they just stink. They're going to lose this game to the Raiders.
Yeah, the Titans look really rough right now. The only reason I'd stay away from this game is because it flies in the face of like two historical trends. One, you've got what we talked about last week. You've got the team that played in the overtime game going on the road, and then you have the 0-2 team, you know, at home. So like historically, like those have been like two spots to kind of, you know, stay away from. That's the only thing that would scare me, but you're absolutely right. The Titans look like shit though. Like, they're absolutely awful. Both these teams have been really bad. They've both been really bad second half teams too, through 2 weeks. But I definitely think the Raiders have a lot more talent. I'm just terrified of this game in general.
Do you think that Vrabel would lose his job, or is he just I think he's just like their guy. Like, I think like they just
he hasn't had a losing season yet. Like, you know, I just think that they caught up, like their dumbass approach has caught up to them, you know, and obviously that Tannehill contract has caught up to him too a little bit now. So this team is, I mean, the offensive line is absolutely miserable. You're paying an older running back on the spectrum. You have no wide receiver play. The fact that they let AJ Brown go when they just went through a whole season where they couldn't move the football when AJ Brown wasn't on the field is absolutely insane. And then they've just, they've started to mount defensive injuries, because the thing about this team was like the defense was good last year. Harold Landry gets injured in preseason. He's out for the year. Christian Fulton misses last week. They just have all these rookie cornerbacks. Stephon Diggs on Monday night did not go well for them. It's just, yeah, there's just not a lot of depth here. There's not a lot of talent. Like you said, there's not a lot of talent here. And it's going to be probably a tougher rebuild, but the fact that they're in the AFC South, maybe it helps. But like, if you were to say right now, like, you would absolutely pick the Jaguars, beat them in the division though. Like, you, I'll still take the Colts to win the division, as, cause like the Colts always do this stuff every year.
Yes.
But I would definitely from this day forward expect the Jaguars to finish with a better record than the Titans.
Yeah. And I mean, as far as like a rebuild, it would just depend on if Malik Willis is a hit or not. Like, if Malik Willis, if Malik Willis is terrible, then they're, you know, if he is Kyle Allen or whatever, then they're back to the drawing board. But if
they have to play him at some point, if they're going to be this bad, because if they're going to be this bad record wise and they're going to be staring down the gun barrel of potentially picking a high quarterback, because Malik Willis was just like a freebie. Like, let's see what, we might as well pick him now. See what,
Works out. Same thing as Corral and Howell and all those guys.
So they might as well, at a point, if they get to a point here, because their schedule is absolutely terrible. If they get to a point here where they're staring down the gun barrel of looking at potentially being a top 10 team, like, they might as well at least see what they have in Willis for the back half of the season, like, just to know.
Yeah. I mean, and I think I think it'll take them longer to get there than a normal team, though.
Not about the sex, dude.
Well, and I mean, they're going to be able to talk themselves into maybe winning the division for, like, at the minimum, at least another month, right? I mean, they could have two wins and still be like, well, I don't know, you know.
We're only two back.
Yeah, so I didn't really think about that stuff, like drafting Willis and best ball and everything. Like, I just did not anticipate the Colts being that bad. But, you know, the Colts winning or losing the freebie against the Texans, like, is gonna hurt our Willis stuff, because they're not gonna start Willis until they're pretty much dead, I think.
Yeah, and they probably won't be completely out of it, until we get to like that stretch where they play like Chiefs, Broncos, Packers, Bengals. The Titans after week 8, they play Chiefs, Broncos, Packers, Bengals, Eagles all in a row. Then they go Jags, Chargers. Like, shit, they might not win any of those games.
Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be bad.
That is rough.
So
you're holding those Derrick Henry bags, and anyone still wants to buy.
Dude, I have Derrick Henry on one main event team.
I remember it.
We got him at the 2-8, and I'm just like, how amazing would it be to have anyone else? Like, how amazing would it be to have, you know, Darren Waller or T. Higgins, or just like literally anybody but Derrick Henry? I mean, I'd rather start Michael Carter than Derrick Henry.
Yeah, just any other player.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks because I remember that at the time, and it was just like, you know, like, yeah, it's 2-0-8. Like, why the hell not?
Why the hell? Yeah. But it's just, I mean, it's horrible, man. It's really no good. So DFS this week, you alluded to it. I mean, we already know what the field's going to do. Mm-hmm. They're going to play these dust ball running backs, and the three dust balls are Fournette, Jacobs, and Montgomery, but there are even other dust balls, you know, Mostert, Ramondre, the Jets running backs, and everyone's going to go Allen, Hurts, Lamar, Tua, Mahomes, like one of these guys, and then pair them with one of the elite wide receivers, maybe even two of the wide receivers. So the ultimate zig this week is Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey. And I'm planning on doing the mid IQ thing of playing the less popular dust balls like Mostert and Ramondre or whatever with the high price wide receivers. But the true like move is to play Jonathan Taylor or Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. So far the meta through 2 weeks of DFS, and it's been the story in season long too, is that these front end wide receivers have been smashing, and the early round running backs have been okay to down.
Like 10 more. The first round wide receivers are averaging 10 more PPR points per game than the first round running backs.
So people want to pay for one of these wide receivers, and I get it. But you know, if you're going to pay for one of these wide receivers this week, because we don't have as much value on the board. Remember week one, we had the pricing set 6 weeks in advance. In week two, none of the good teams played in the main slate. So this is like our first like full week of fantasy football. And there's just not as much like glaring, like we're going to play Greg Dortch type plays, right? Like we'll try to squeeze out. So like
it's the Tampa Bay wide receivers. If any of them end up being or God help us, the Patriots wide receivers, if Myers doesn't play.
Yeah. And I'm not going to play those guys, but maybe you play Aguilar or whatever, but I feel like that it's definitely the way to go against that this week is to pay up at running back, especially if guys like Damian Pierce are going to be popular, right? Like, dude, like I have no problem playing David Montgomery in cash. I think he's absolutely underpriced at 5.9 on DK, but like, you wanted me to take a game that's got a 40-point game total between two of the worst teams in the NFL and like stack that game? Like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. We're going to avoid that at all costs if we can. There's some good, even if you don't want to pay all the way up for Taylor, because again, there's not a lot of cheap guys. Taylor's 9K. If you want to play him with another like functional wide receiver, it's hard. But I think Dalvin Cook at 7.9 looks really good. I think Lenny's fine where he's at. You know, I don't ever really have a problem with that. Just the workload he's getting is so strong. But yeah, I feel like I want to play good running backs this week. If the field wants to play all bad running backs, I want to play good running backs. That's how I'm going to choose it. Because there's still enough wide receivers for me to play that are good still.
Yes. I mean, like Jamar Chase looks to be the pick of the litter where I think he's 8,000 on DraftKings, but he will be far and away the lowest owned.
So the Bengals in general, the two games I'm looking at of trying to get in on these low owned stacks are definitely the Bengals Jets game and then this Chiefs Colts game. And they play at 1:00. And if those teams don't hit, those teams are dead. I don't like whatever. But if those teams hit, then I'm going to 4:00 and I can take on some of those the chalky stuff at 4:00. But neither of those games are really getting steamed right now. Obviously, Bills Dolphins is going to be the most popular 1:00 game for a lot of reasons. And
I'm not going to play any players from that game in tournaments, I think.
And then Lions Vikings is going to be really popular to run that back. But it looks like Dalvin looks really palatable just because, like, again, people don't want to pay the 8K for running back right now. They want to pay for the wide receiver. They want to pay the 9.3 for Justin Jefferson. They want to get Stephon Diggs in the lineup. They want to get Cooper Kupp in the lineup. They want to get Amon-Ra St. Brown after he's just been steamrolling people. He'll be super popular.
He's going to be so popular.
And then like the Dolphins guys will be popular now because of what's happened last week, plus the Bills guys being hurt.
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a perfect narrative thing of like, you got to have Cooper Kupp or Justin Jefferson or Stephon Diggs to win your league. And they're all in good spots this week. And Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey and Joe Mixon are all busts. And yeah, I mean, it really is setting up. What about are you leaving a light on for our friend, Mr. Pitts at 4,800 against the Seattle Seahawks?
Yeah, I'm jamming him in. Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah, 40. You gotta buy on Kyle Pitts at 4,800 before you can buy on him at 4,300.
Well, what's crazy is you know, my take last week was that just like I didn't want to play him because Darren Waller was the same price and I thought Darren Waller was just way better player.
Sure.
Now this week it's not really like that. There aren't a lot of pivots at his price. But now what's interesting is it feels like everyone's just been talking about it all week. That just he's coming in like really even for 4.8 like. I'm showing him to be lower owned than guys like Evan Ingram and Zach Ertz. And like, if that's the case, like if no one wants to play him, then like, of course I want to play him.
I mean, Herb Smith Jr. We're heading into an Herb Smith Jr.
No.
TJ Hawkinson chalk week.
No, dude. I'm going to play him. I don't care. And it's not even a thing where I'm like expecting a huge run out. Like it goes against like, if nobody wants to play him now, my always thing was like, yeah, he's cheap, but the matchups aren't good and everyone keeps wanting to play him. Now he's cheap. The matchup's good and no one wants to play him.
Yeah. I think like my ideal construction would be Mahomes, two of his guys, Pitts, and then I haven't toyed around with like actually setting anything yet. I'm just like thinking out loud, mm-hmm. and I'd like to play one dust ball running back, and then one of the good ones, and then just see where that like see what I can do from there. I mean,
Monty is definitely like I wouldn't call him one of the dust balls. He's just the problem is his price is so far off.
I mean, 25% projected ownership.
That's because his price is super wrong. Like, I mean, because they played on Sunday night and he continued to get like this massive workload. He looked great on Sunday night too, by the way. And he's playing.
Yeah, the guy looked like Barry frickin' Sanders.
And he's playing the Texans. And he's 5'9". Like, it's just way too cheap. So I can go there. But I like some other guys in that range, though. I think Travis Etienne at 5'4" is like a really good tournament play because I think the Jaguars will be competitive. I talked with Jacob Sanderson. It's my podcast a little bit. Like, I think that it's going to be more of an Etienne type game. I think Michael Carter at 5'2" is pretty interesting because I think that that game could be competitive, like, and be high scoring. So there are some pivots down there too. But like, I definitely am not going to do the 5K Damian Pierce thing.
Ramondre Stevenson, 65% of the Patriots snaps last week. Can I interest you? That's who I'm gravitating towards.
Maybe. The problem.
Probably stinks. Like, he probably won't score, and I'll probably get 6 points from him and be bummed out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just down on the Patriots offense in general. And like, the one thing that I do know the Ravens can still do is defend the run.
That's so true. Yeah.
I'm not in love with it, but I'm not like against it either. I can definitely see a path.
The thesis of that play would be that he catches 6 passes somehow, basically.
You need the pass catching, because the biggest thing, even throughout all the steam Ramondre got, was the one hurdle I never could like come like jump with the group was that inside the money zone, like, they're just going to keep giving Damian Harris the ball. He's good down there. Like, there's no reason for them not to use Damian Harris like near the goal line. And that seems to still be a hurdle for Ramondre.
Yeah. Is there an angle that we could take in Detroit, Minnesota, where like we play Shark and Thielen as like mega leverage?
Maybe. I think obviously the main leverage guy right now is Dalvin. Coming in, it looks like he's going to be sub 10%. They're home favorites by 6 points. Like, he's coming off a really just like garbage game on Monday night. He seems to be the most obvious guy. I think if you wanted to save salary at quarterback, you can do something with like Goff and to try to get unique. Cousins is going to be really popular. How often has Kirk Cousins chalk week worked out too?
I know, highest total, and like I still don't even really want to play him.
That game is unique because, you know, obviously Jefferson's completely fine. You want to play Jefferson, but like all the other pieces, because Amon-Ra is going to be so popular.
So popular, yeah.
All the other pieces, though, it's really kind of hard to get there. Like, I don't want any part of like, I'm definitely fine with like playing Irv in season long. We are in a league. Like, I feel fine about that, but like, I'm definitely not fine with playing Irv when he's going to be the second highest owned tight end on a slate, like going down that road.
No, I'd play Juwan Johnson over him if I was like punting down there, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's, yeah, that game too could be one of the trap games too. What if it ends up being really slow, right? Like, there's still a path to like where that Vikings Lions is being.
If we get, you know, Zimmer, the ghost of Zimmer rears his head and they give the ball to Dalvin 37 times.
Well, yeah, Dalvin's just rocking, right? Like, they're ahead. Definitely could be potential. Cousins just isn't playing well. Like, we've seen that's so well within the range of his outcomes.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, so there's unique ways to kind of go around the slate. To me, I believe the 1 o'clock games, Chiefs Colts looks very under owned to me. And then just trying to get ahead of the Bengals set. Like, no one wants to play the Bengals guys. They're wearing those white helmets. I want a part of like being in on the Bengals, and they're going to wear these white helmets. That's going to impact my play.
Yes. Yeah. The elusive white Bengal tiger. We absolutely can't wait. All right, dude, there we go. Got it done. Yeah,
Burrow's going through the band, the cover two movement though.
Dude, it's ruining football, man. Can they change the rules in the NBA to make scoring easier? Like, can't we do
in baseball?
Like,
they're doing it.
What would the rule be? Like, your safeties have to be outside the like, how would you legislate that? Like,
yeah, I don't know, something about the, yeah, they won't do it because cover twos existed forever. But it is funny with all these good young quarterbacks and good offenses, though, you are seeing it. I dropped the stats, like, man coverage is way down, teams are blitzing less, they just don't want to give up big plays. Like, teams just don't want to give up big plays. And it sucks. It's not fun.
Oh, I got a tournament. AJ Dillon against the Buccaneers. That's like my 2% guy this week. I mean, he's getting, like, him and Jones are in a 50-50, but Dillon is getting lots of good touches. Like, Jones.
No, Akeem Hicks is out. Because it's there, the Bucs run D. The Bucs run D isn't what the Bucs run D has been. And they've given up a lot of yards for carry to running backs the first 2 weeks. And then, like I said, Hicks being out, you know, in the middle. I can definitely see that. He's the dude you have to pivot for. Like, if you're 1 p.m. guys don't hit and you're, like, holding Lenny, like, you have to go to Dillon over Lenny.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. So I just wanted to get that out of there before we left. Sharp Football, what should the people be looking out for this week?
Yeah, worksheets fired up, you know, running these games. We're getting that sample. You know, I always tell people, like, I'm the type of analyst, like, I get way better as the season goes on. Following the trends. I'm someone like Gretsch, you know, like the stealing signals. Like, I'm in the weeds and, like, following, like, the trends and player use, all this stuff. And as we build up a sample, you know, those are the things that are going to matter to be ahead of, you know, when you want to set your lineups, you know, pick up guys off waivers and play DFS.
Yeah. All right, there we go. Everyone, Sharp Football, check it out. Warren's been on Sports Grid. He was on for, I think, 2 hours yesterday down at our actual studio in Jersey. So, and enjoying that glorious mustache on television. Follow Reeves, listen to the Sharp Angles podcast, read the worksheet, and we'll be back next week.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta, because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know. Refill? Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.